Welcome back to In the Moment. The Black Hills Playhouse's Dakota Players have toured South Dakota schools since 1999, giving kids in rural communities a chance to play a part in a live theater production. In the last few years, the Black Hills Playhouse has expanded its educational outreach efforts with summer camps. They include Black Hills Playhouse Junior Camps in the Black Hills and Camp Bravo for children and adults with disabilities in Sioux Falls. SDPB's Jackie Hendry spoke with the Director of Education for the Black Hills Playhouse, Deb Workman, to learn more about how the Playhouse is impacting students across the state.
Can you tell me a bit more about these touring groups? Like, what are some of the communities that they go? I'm guessing they go beyond just Sioux Falls and the Black Hills.
Yeah, we really go all across South Dakota. This year we have 38 residencies, which, you know, when you add in holidays and such, it's just about all that we can fit into the calendar year. We worked with over 1,500 kids. We've played to over 6,500 audience members, and really in large and small towns across South Dakota. We have done residencies on 5 different reservations for this last year. And really, I mean, we go to Allen and Mitchell and Timberlake, and we do things here in Sioux Falls and Rapid City, Leola, Ross Holt, so all over the place.
How do you decide where you go?
They usually contact us. Since we've been touring since 1999, we have a lot of repeat customers that, you know, we know exactly what week they want every year. We're also on the South Dakota Arts Council Touring Arts roster and Artists in Schools and Communities rosters. And that really helps towns be able to bring us in. Those grants can pay up to 50% of our fee. So that's a great program that we're part of.
And do they generally tend to be similar shows? Are these names that maybe the students will recognize as shows?
You know, when the company started, we thought it was really important to hire Midwestern artists to tour for us, but also to write new work. We think new work is really important. The fairy tales and those stories, they're fabulous, and they tell their own stories. But we thought, how do you get new works? And so we really thought we needed to hire artists from the Midwest to do writing and designing for us as well, because we have really creative people here in South Dakota. So all of our shows are originals. We have a couple of adaptations, like On the Road to Brementown, but most of them are original shows that they tour for a year, and then they kind of go into storage for 7 years so that the kids kind of cycle through the school with a different show every year, and then they might come back out.
And I suppose since schools are, you know, inviting the group there, I'm interested in kind of the interest level of students, like even in these smaller communities, if you see, you know, the same level of excitement for performing or even going backstage for these younger students in even smaller communities.
Yeah, I think the smaller towns, a lot of them, we are the art. We are the only theater that comes through every year. So we get great turnout. You know, especially if it's a town that we've been to every year. I think Fulton, South Dakota, we have been to since we started the company. And the kids know we're coming in, and, you know, they know the routine and just love it. Sometimes it's a smaller group when we first start there, but it grows. And like I said, this is sometimes the only performing arts activity they have for the year.
I'm curious how it works if a lot of these, especially smaller schools, and putting on performances, how that works when it comes to equipment.
We kind of create a theater wherever we're at. So the team travels in a big pickup, and they carry set and lights and sound equipment and costumes with them. So wherever, you know, if we perform on a stage and they already have lights, that's great. You know, we'll use their lights, but if, you know, we perform in gym floors or, you know, community centers, we kind of make it work wherever.
Let's talk about maybe these summer camps.
Well, this year this is our third year doing summer camps, and we've actually added another one on. So we have BHP Junior Performing Arts Camp for students entering 5th through 7th grade. Mm. And that one, it's called Oklahoma, Oh, What a Beautiful Morning at Placerville. And that one, the kids show up on Sunday. We have auditions that night for the performance they're going to do at the end of the week. Then they go into rehearsals and classes for dance and theater and music for the week. But we also take a day and we spend it at the Black Hills Playhouse, which is super exciting. It shows them kind of the variety of jobs that are held in a theater. You know, everyone thinks, oh, that actor, you know, you want to be a famous actor, but there's so many costume designers and builders and set designers and set builders. So it kind of opens up their eyes to what actually goes on, you know, marketing and all of that business side of theater. And then they get to see a performance of Oklahoma at the Playhouse, which is super exciting. Early on in the week, too, we bring over actors from that performance, and they teach them part of the show, like a dance from the show. And then the cast, the camp cast, will perform it for the Playhouse cast, which is a really fun moment to see those different generations working together, and that's really exciting. Then we have a BHP Junior Artist in Training Performing Arts Camp. This one's called Mystery at Crimson House, and it's for kind of intermediate and advanced students entering 8th through 12th grade. And that one is at the same time as the games afoot at the Black Hills Playhouse. So we kind of tie it into that mystery Sherlock Holmes theme. And they, too, they'll be working on their own show. That one, that camp goes Sunday, July 29th through Saturday, August 4th. They'll be working on their own show, but they get to spend a day over at the Playhouse as well. So we've kind of divided up ages this year. So we're trying something new. And then we also have Camp Bravo Mystery at Joy Ranch, and that's the All Ability Performing Arts Camp that we do with Lifescape, and that's June 17th through June 22nd.
Roughly how many students might get involved with these different summer camps?
You know, we're still fairly new, yeah. Right? So our first year of camp, 2016, we had 26 kids. Our second year at camp, we had 48.
Wow.
So it grew quickly. We're hoping that, you know, that growth continues there. And at Camp Bravo, that one we had 24 kids, I think, our first year. And that's a little bit different with the needs mm-hmm. that come there. And this year, we're hoping to get 40.
This is kind of a big question, but I think an important one. Why is it important that there is that educational outreach with theater, that students have access or experience to working in a theatrical production?
You know, gosh, there's just so many reasons. It's really important for us to reach these populations with limited access. We just think to be well-rounded human beings, you just need that experience in many, you know, many different things. The world needs creative people now more than ever. And we're not saying, you know, we're not saying that everyone's going to go and be a Broadway actor. That's not what we're training for, what we're training the kids for. We want our future generations to be creative teachers and clerks and doctors and librarians and parents. You know, the world is complicated and we need really creative, confident learners to guide the world. So it brings joy to people. It brings community to people. And, you know, when we work with these kids on the touring program, you know, for a week, and just watching their growth in a week's time is amazing. The kids that barely speak at auditions, and, you know, so we have teachers come up to us and say, I've never heard that child speak out loud. And they're just coming out of their shell by the time when it's performance time. So things like that, it's just a different way of learning, too. Storytelling and putting it into their bodies. It's we have all kinds of learners out there. And to be able to change it for so many people and have them learn things in a different way, I think is really important. You know, and the self-confidence thing, I'll tell you a story. This was the first year that my husband and I actually toured together, and we were doing our very first residency, and it was a tough week, that first week ever. to start the company. And, you know, we were still trying to figure out our moves and, you know, the best procedures, and got to performance. And, oh, I didn't know if we were even going to make it to performance, make it through the show. And we all come on for the opening number and sing the song, and then half the cast leaves and the show starts. And I went off stage with a group of the tinier ones, and I thought, oh, I don't know if we're going to make it through this performance. And a little girl tagged, you know, grabbed onto my costume and tugged on it. And I looked back, and I was, you know, we were backstage trying to be quiet. And I said, yeah, do you need something? And she said, do you hear that? They're clapping for me. And I went, this is the most beautiful performance we've ever done.
Wow.
You know, that's what we're doing. You know, and we see that every single week. You know, in the All Ability work we do, too, I just was not aware of that population when we started this job here, and people with disabilities. I mean, you're aware of them, but not. And working with that population has really opened up my eyes as well. You know, we had an All Ability production, and this is the first time that some of these kids or adults have ever had the opportunity to be on stage, which just amazes me, right? That just wasn't an option. And we had a young man in an All Ability show. He was new to LifeScape, and he did not talk much. And so we'd go through all the rehearsals, and then by the end, he was interacting with his with the cast members. He was speaking his lines. It got even to ad-libbing. And he was just a really fun young man to work with, and just watching him grow. And we thought, wow, what a difference, you know, we're making. And this is, he's just so delightful to work with, not even realizing the difference we made for that family. Like, they had family members fly in from out of state to see this performance. This was the very first time he ever did anything like this, you know. And we really, in our All Ability performances and workshops and such, we have a multitude of stage partners within the cast helping each other. So we really try to have staff step back, parents, we let them sit in the audience for the very first time. You know, it's normally they're the ones that are the caretakers. And the parents are able to really sit back and just enjoy the performance. And watching these kids get this confidence, you know, they rely on each other. They don't rely on their staff. They don't rely on their parents. They rely on each other on stage to get through the performance. And that is really fun to watch. I just think the arts are so important, and it's all around people, whether they realize it or not. And that song or that play that just makes you think or makes you feel something, everyone should have access to that. And that's what we're trying to do.
And now we're going to bring Black Hills Playhouse Executive Director Linda Anderson into the conversation. Linda, thanks for being here today.
Good morning. Thank you.
Okay, I got a little teared up there when the little girl said, maybe you didn't hear this part, but she said, they're clapping for me. And I thought, oh, her first stage experience to find out that people will applaud what you do.
Yep.
She's hooked. She's hooked forever.
It's true.
We're going to do a look ahead at what's coming up in the new season. Tickets are on sale now for 2018. Is that where you want to start?
All right. So we're just entering the 73rd season of the Black Hills Playhouse. And so if you can imagine, people have been doing this since 1946, and the 73rd season is kicking off with a show called Tokens of Affection. Tokens of Affection is a regional premiere. It means this play is an unpublished play. It's a new playwright named Topher Payne, and we're just really happy to be able to showcase his piece in our opening slot. The second show we're doing is the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee that opens in June. And while Spelling Bee might make you think that it's about children, it's actually about it's quirky children, teens who are played by adults, and it's about a spelling bee championship and it's a very, very funny piece. It's a musical comedy.
The bloodletting of a spelling bee championship, right?
The bloodletting. Yes, exactly. We go on to Oklahoma, which, of course, is an iconic musical. And one of the reasons we're doing it is that this year is the 75th anniversary of Oklahoma. And Oklahoma is kind of the play that created the structure for modern musicals.
All right, what does that mean? Let's dig into that a little bit. What does that mean?
Sure. Well, it was one of the first plays that took music and took a theme and collaborated. The music told the story and then also had dancing. And you may think that this format that we think of as musicals has been around forever, but really it was Oklahoma that brought all those pieces together and made that popular.
Wow. Wow. I did not know that. Huh. Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Yep, exactly. And of course, we're using that play as the theme also for one of our children's camps that happens in the summer. And so kids will get to learn about, that structure as well and get to see that play. And then we end the season with The Games Afoot by Ken Ludwig. And it's a Sherlock Holmes mystery. It's about an actor who plays Sherlock Holmes, and he invites people to his scary mansion, and there are murders that occur, and it's just a wonderful comedy thriller.
And all right,
so
you've got two musicals next summer and in fairly short order next to each other. Is that a challenge? Is that something you do every year?
That's something we do every year. We do between 4 and 5 productions every year. So our summer structure is basically the artists arrive. They have about 15 days to put together a show. So that's the rehearsal, that's the building of costumes, the building of sets, and then they open the first show. When that first show opens, the artists move on to rehearsing and building the second show, and that goes on all summer long. So, when you come to a play in the evening, those artists have been working on the next show all that day.
That takes a special kind of mental preparation and physical preparation when you're talking a musical especially.
Yeah, it does. And the thing about the Black Hills Playhouse is that it started out we are associated with the University of South Dakota. And matter of fact, I'm an employee of the university. I'm the only employee of the university. All the rest of the company is employed by the Black Hills Playhouse, which is its own 501c3. But for 73 years, we've had this partnership. And part of the reason for that is because the person that started the playhouse, Warren M. Lee, was the dean of the College of Fine Arts at the University of South Dakota. And he had two goals. He wanted to have a training ground for students. He also wanted to have employment for artists in South Dakota on an annual basis. And then he also wanted to provide high-quality entertainment for people in the region. If you think back in the 40s, most of the theater that was going on was on the coast, and so he wanted that to happen in South Dakota. So for 73 years, you've had this amazing group of artists who have come together, created these shows, interacted with generations of people, and so especially for a student, a student in a university setting, they usually take maybe 5 to 6 weeks to put together a show, and then they run it for limited performances. When they come into the summer stock setting, they are putting the show together very quickly with a bunch of seasoned professionals, and then it runs from 10 to 17 performances depending on the show. So when you talk about the stamina and what's needed to do that, it is like a boot camp for artists. They come in, and they work really hard all summer, and they come out stronger and even better at their craft.
The 2018 season tickets are available now. There's your holiday gift idea, the Black Hills Playhouse Executive Director.
Well, actually, our holiday sale ends on December 31st, and so if people want to get tickets, this is the best prices of the season, and they can call in and get packages with us, which is, this is a very important time of year for us. A lot of investment goes into plays before you actually, you know, put them on. And so between now and the end of the year, we'll do about $100,000 worth of business, which is cash flow to pay royalties and all the different kinds of things that happen to get ready. You know, and also, of course, it helps provide cash flow for all the other kinds of programs that we do. You know, the educational programs that you heard about with Deborah, and then, you know, other kinds of training programs that we do.
All right. What do you have ahead for the holiday season then, Linda? I'm wondering, is the season closed now, or are there holiday events that you do? How does this work?
Nope, we don't have holiday events. We're simply opening up the ticket packages for people to buy and start getting invested in their summer.
Okay.
On the Black Hills Playhouse side, of course, you know, there is a lot of preparation going on to get ready for a season. So our artistic director right now is in the process of hiring the directors and the designers for a season. When they finish, when they're hired, we'll do an audition tour that'll go to 7 different places across South Dakota all the way to St. Louis. And they'll hire the company of actors and artists that will work. And those people will be in place by about March. The designers and the directors start conversations to get ready. So all of those designs are finished by the time we open in June. And so there's a big push for preparation that starts right now, and all hands on deck as we're getting ready for audiences next summer.
And where do the actors come from? All over the country, the state? Where do most of them travel from?
You know, they come from all over the country. Last year we had artists and technicians from 23 different states and from 2 foreign countries.
Wow.
And so, you know, in December, we'll have information posted about, you know, how people can be employed with the Black Hills Playhouse. People apply online. Actors, of course, try to do in-person auditions at our different audition sites. Technicians, you know, we reach out through various employment methods, you know, through professional sites to get people on board. And, you know, it's every year assembling this amazing team. Last year we had over 1,000 applicants, and we hired 77 people.
Wow. Wow. So you get you get your choice. You get the pick of the lot.
Yes, exactly.
What is it?
And it's amazing, you know, people really we have some people that return, but it's a new company every year, and a lot of people haven't been to the Black Hills before, and so coming to the Black Hills is an attractive thing. You know, we're in a remote location. It's an entirely different atmosphere than a lot of people are used to. And so I think that, you know, the Black Hills Playhouse started with this core program of bringing artists together, providing quality entertainment. About 2015, we started branching out to include Dakota Players, which you just heard about with the education efforts. And then in 2016, we started talking about, actually the board adopted a new mission statement and goals that specifically speak to involving underserved populations with our programming. And so the changes that, you know, we will always be devoted to that core program that people have come to know and love, but we also want to make sure that our audiences continue to grow and diversify, that we can take the quality program from the artists that we are engaged with and take it to places that, you know, engage people, especially youth, and give them opportunities to be able to grow through the arts. And so that's probably the biggest change. In 2017, the Bush Foundation and the South Dakota Community Foundation gave us a grant to be able to work with low-income neighborhoods in Rapid City. We've been working with Racing Magpie, which is a consulting group in Rapid City, consulting with the arts. And we've been surveying families about what is their arts access, what are they, what kinds of things would they like to participate in, and if there were neighborhood programs created, what kinds of programs they would like for themselves and for their children. And so this information and this kind of work that we're doing will be informing our program development for the future.
Linda, I'm going to ask you to stay on the line a little bit. We do have to take a break, but I have a couple more questions I want to ask you. Are you willing to do that for us for a few minutes? Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We're talking with Linda Anderson. She's the executive director for the Black Hills Playhouse in Custer State Park. Linda, I'm curious about something you said right before the break, talking about the Bush Foundation grant, and really asking people, you know, what do you want? What would you participate in? What would feed your neighborhood and help it thrive? What sort of answers were you finding right away to those sorts of questions?
You know, it's been such an interesting process because we go out to community events and to especially school events where families gather. And families are definitely telling us that they would like to get access to arts for their kids. And, you know, I think sometimes people make assumptions that because people don't participate, they might not want to be participating, and that's not what we've seen at all. What we see is that people are very interested in educational opportunities for their children, and also it's clear that there are some obstacles to families being able to participate in traditional programs. You know, it not every child out there has family and parental support to be able to pay for classes and do that kind of thing. Transportation is an issue as people are, you know, not always able to get their kids across town to our major venues. And so we're really interested in, you know, what is it that people are interested in and how can we create projects that both uplift the neighborhood and allow for participation by low-income families.
Mm. And Deb Workman talked about this a little bit, but I'm hoping you'll be excited to talk about it too, which is, you know, what's it all for? When we talk about access to arts, it's not necessarily raising the next Broadway star, although it could be. You know, what's in it for the kids long term as they grow and have those, you know, theatrical experiences, have those experiences with improvisation or costuming or theater management or, you know, what have you? You know, what do they take forward?
Right. You know, I think that as we watch kids, we see this self-confidence that grows, the ability for kids to get in front and to do things that they're proud of. To be able to engage their families in family activities. And, you know, it's just when we look to the future and you think about creative people in general in our society, I think I heard a statistic that, you know, the kids that are in preschool today, the jobs that they'll have haven't even been invented yet, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so the pace of technology is moving so quickly. And what does that mean? You know, that means that you need a workforce that is creative, that is self-confident, that is able to problem solve in a different way. And so arts programs, while they're about expressing what it is to be human, it's also about using the brain in a different way to be able to problem solve and think, you know, out of the box, come up with new ideas. And, you know, so getting, especially low-income families, getting kids access to those kinds of programs is really integral to their development. Mm-hmm. The work, of course, that we're doing, the all-inclusive, all-ability programs, you know, the all-ability programs are great for the student that has a disability or the adult that has a disability, but they're also really great for the actors that don't have disabilities and for those two groups, those people with and without disabilities, to come together and have a more clearer awareness of each other. You know, so quality of life, of course, always comes up when you talk about the arts. But this ability to interact with other people, to respect differences, to think on your feet, to be self-confident. These are all the kinds of things that we want to bring to our programming.
All right, let's close with a website or place where they can get their tickets for the 2018 Black Hills Playhouse summer season.
Sure. So blackhillsplayhouse.com has the holiday sale listed, and you can go out there. We don't take reservations until March, but package holders will have the first ability to get their tickets. General ticket sales will open in April. So blackhillsplayhouse.com, and that's also where you can register kids for our theater camps. And
all
so
right.
Look for those two under education.
Linda Anderson, Executive Director of the Black Hills Playhouse in Custer, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.